Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Do you remember the first day you came aboard this ship? Mother brought you on the bridge.
Yes, sir.
You even sat in my chair. I was annoyed. Presumptuous child playing on my ship. But I never forgot how you already knew every control, every display. You behaved as though you belonged on the bridge. And then later, when I decided to make you an acting ensign, I was convinced you could be an outstanding officer. And I never questioned that conviction. Until now. The first duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth, whether it's scientific truth or historical truth or personal truth. It is the guiding principle on which Starfleet is based. Now, if you can't find it within yourself to stand up and tell the truth about what happened, you don't deserve to wear that uniform. I'm going to make this simple for you, Mr. Crusher. Either you come forward and tell Admiral Brand what really took place, or I will.
Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Can I push the button?
I'm ready all night long.
Push buttons.
Push my button while I sing this song.
Okay.
I'm gonna push my button.
Duty or no duty.
I'm gonna push my button and I'm gonna win the fight. I'm gonna push that button and I feel all right.
All right. So here's the thing.
I say hi to my baby every time. I say hi to my baby because she's looking fine.
Are you writing a song?
Push my button all day and night.
I feel that you've misled me, Dan.
It's the push my button song.
Because previously I had asked if you thought you were ready to start the podcast.
Oh, I was born ready.
And he said that
he was. And you indicated that you were.
Yep.
But your behavior suggests otherwise.
Ah, I keep them guessing. That's what makes me. And you,
guessing.
You.
All right.
And
you,
them.
You.
Hey, Dan, I do have a question for you before we get things kicked off.
What?
Did you get a lot of funny clips out of this
episode?
Did you get a bunch of funny audio clips? Like hilarious audio clips? Like maybe audio clips about peer pressure-induced deaths of promising young college students?
Oh, man. I love this.
Nobody knew exactly how it happened.
Nobody.
This is a classic Wesley delivery. He's like, no.
Nobody knew exactly how it happened. Captain Picard doesn't know anything.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
there was a bit of vocal fry there. Lately, you've been into male vocal fry.
Yeah,
I've noticed.
I know what it is.
There's a particular attraction.
Hey.
You were flying a ship. Traveling 80,000 kph with Cadet Albert's ship less than 10 meters away, and you don't know what his orientation was.
You don't know.
They were like,
actually, that one was pretty funny.
That was a great admiral.
There was like three like super mad points. Like this was another one.
That was not my question, Cadet.
You could tell she's mad. And this was the best one.
You choose not to answer.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's the greatest. He's like, answer. What the fuck?
All right. We're going to get into all of that. Worry not, folks out there. We will get into all of that because indeed. Your ears do not deceive thee.
Mm-hmm.
You are Jesse with the fart noises.
That's not fart.
What is it?
I'm just making.
It sounds like fart. It's interpreted by some listeners as fart noises.
Labial noises.
You're labeling the labial noises.
You're labeling my labial noises.
You're declaring.
It's a story I'd like to hear.
You're declaring them not poopy farts, not whistling bum holes.
It's simply the physical sounds that they are.
All right. No,
there's no problem here.
No problem at all.
What I was trying to get at is that your ears, audience, do not deceive you.
They do not.
The three voices you hear are collectively known.
This guy and the other guy.
Collectively and colloquially known as the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We don't know that.
Yes, we do.
We do know that.
We do, Dan.
We do, Dan.
Captain Picard doesn't know anything.
Everyone knows Dan's here.
He's a doo-dan.
Some people might know Jesse's here. I'm Patrick.
I wasn't here last week.
So, yeah, you weren't here last week, but this week you're here. So Jesse, here. Dan, and Patrick, It's Got
How
Star
are you?
Trek. That's what we're doing just fine, Dan.
I'm pretty damn cranky, thank you.
There's Booth.
Who
B.
the hell are you?
Booth B.
So
this
week
is an unhappy way to begin commencement.
Okay.
Well played.
All right. So here's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight?
No.
Yes. We will be.
I don't think so.
Yes, you. No, no. Indeed, you do.
Indeed you do.
I'm not certain.
You may protest.
Sad.
We are about to begin discussing Star Trek The Next Generation's The First Duty.
Duty.
What is your explanation, Mr. Crusher?
Oh, man.
And indeed, yes, I do expect, forgive me, Dan, if I'm jumping ahead here.
No, I know what you're going to say. I know what
you're going to say. I do expect that later in the show, we will have a classic episode of Duty or No Duty.
The most ever, in fact.
Oh, really? Is it?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it was.
For real?
So statistically?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so again, new
numerically.
Listeners, new listeners, if you're just hopping in.
I'm losing it.
If this is if this is where you're joining on to the old It's Got Star Trek bandwagon, what you got to know.
That sounds silly.
What you got to know, in addition to the fact that we do indeed talk about Star Trek in these episodes.
You
eventually,
said do. Whoa,
what happened?
Dan's rooting around for something over there.
Did you lose your chain?
In his part of the studio. Dan has a regular feature. It's not every episode, but it's a regular feature called Duty or No Duty. And the way this feature works,
no duty.
And we'll do it later in the show, the way this feature works is if somebody says the word duty, but if they pronounce it with a soft D or a hard T or somewhere in between, and Dan quizzes Jesse and I as well as the audience and asks for our thoughts on whether it is a duty or a duty. And in the way the game
maddening.
Is framed, it's duty or no duty. So
I've acquired an interest over the years.
It's a bit out there.
It is. But it's a great, great fun.
I know that.
The kids in particular
always enjoy.
Really seem to love it. So a little later on, what do you think, Dan? Second break, third break? When should we do the duty or no duty? Because I have something that goes along with the duty or no duty.
Wow, a duty or no duty companion?
It's a surprise companion.
A duty buddy?
A surprise duty companion?
Surprise duty companion.
Perhaps.
Or
one.
No Sorry. Duty.
There's one
no
way
duty.
You could put it. Well, it'll be in the second or third break. We don't know.
Well, there must be some explanation for this.
No. If you're a new listener,
there's
I don't know. I'm always trying to help out the new listeners because we do get there's new listeners every episode.
It's a good idea.
But you know they can also
they know
go back.
Nick. They know what we did
through context clues. I'm sure
They've
they can figure out most of this
listening.
Stuff. Yeah, probably.
When you asked me if I had a lot of happy clips to actually answer your question, no, there was a lot of negativity in this episode. I noticed.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, I can tell by looking at the theme of my clips and my clips. On my clips, I had very few happy clips and mostly negative clips.
Can you remind us about, do you color code the clips for happy or sad?
Is it
no,
purple?
I color code them for beats, sounds,
yeah.
Everyday conversation, random quotes, things like this.
Mom.
That's like its own code.
Mom.
Okay, I get I get what you're saying with the thing, but yeah.
Like
sensorines.
Like something like that. Yeah. Like
Boothbit. Mm-hmm. Mr. Connor.
Mom.
Nick Locarno.
Nicholas Locarno. Joshua Albert.
Nick! Nick! Nick!
That's okay. Another color-coded one. Then I do a third and a fourth that don't always get included for extra things. Like I have an extra light blue color for a thing, and I have an extra yellow color for a thing. But then I also have a brown.
But don't you also, didn't you already have things? These are extra things?
They're extra like things.
How
like
many
that somehow link together.
Have?
Well, two of them are optional. Two of them I usually, the light blue and yellow I don't usually have, but like they're up to two extra categories if they apply. If the extra category applies that episode, like okay, here I'll give you an example of one of my things.
So give us the color.
This is light blue.
Light blue. So it's not the normal thing. What's the normal thing color?
Nick Locarno.
Maintenance bay.
Okay, what color?
Maintenance bay.
What color?
Then a maintenance bay.
What color are those
Filling
sound
the primary
clips?
Cooler tanks requires an open interlock, but that can only be performed in a maintenance bay. Maintenance bay.
Mom.
That's dark blue.
Okay, so dark blue.
Dark blue.
Look, I want to explain this because we have a lot of synesthetes out there, and I want our synesthetes.
Oh, really?
Standard sensors sweep.
They're going to want to know whether your color matchings the sounds matches up with their with their synesthesia. So
is it yellow?
Dark blue is standard sound clips about just regular things, and then you have light blue is for extra things.
Like but... that, there's not always a light blue. There's also a yellow that there's not always a yellow either. Yellow and light blue are interchangeable. It's
for
just
what?
So light blue. It's if there's something extra that I haven't taken into account for example, and it changes.
By things you mean nouns.
By things I mean like thematic relations. Here's one. Let me just show you one of them.
Illustrating it may be helpful.
Okay, this is the name of the character with the spelling Hajar. How would you all pronounce that name?
Hajar.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the first. These are the light blues. That was all about this one.
Hussar.
Boothby says Hussar.
Really?
Cadet Albert's ship collided with Cadet Hussar's. Cadet Hussar's.
That Wesley said Hussar, but then Brand. Brand said
Cadet Hussar.
Yeah,
that's the right one.
I found that the captions always said Hajar.
Mm-hmm. That's how the name is spelled.
That's how it's spelled. I'm just saying they pronounced it how I wouldn't expect them to. Yeah. But that often happens.
No, I know.
Anyways,
that's freaky.
The point being is, you see how this was like a little themey thing that stuck together with several sounds that fit together to create a point.
Light blue,
or yellow. Or yellow.
But in this case, light blue.
Yeah, it's really open-ended.
Like a darker yellow?
Do you have any yellows this time around?
I do have some yellows.
Because there's other connected thing, but maybe it's a surprise for later?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
And then there's...
But the original question was the happy sad. How do you organize happy sad?
Okay.
Because you had the whole positive-negative spectrum,
right? So you were asking if they're color-coded.
Yeah.
My last color-coding is brown are just like...
Flush it down.
Like game shows, like Duty or No Duties are brown, not because of the name, because it's like a
brown
game show.
Brown is duty.
Brown is game.
It's just, brown is usually something a little more extended. So the green is where I really focus on the positive to negative.
Extended than distant.
Because that's like, the green is the conversational stuff. It begins with sorry.
Green is like quotes.
Yeah, well,
longer quotes.
Well, no, green is shorter. Green are things like that fit into the conversation, like...
I am very disturbed by what I have heard here today.
So into our conversation.
Yes.
Into
the podcast conversation. So when you're responding to us, because you don't want to talk out loud, and instead you want to use the shield of sounds, I just want to know what we should imagine when we hear something like that come up. Green.
Yes, that may well be.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
That was a green one, right?
That was a green one.
All right.
And it used to be, and I keep sorry and thank you at the beginning, then greetings after that.
Sorry and thank you. Oh, sorry and. I thought you meant sorry and, as in sorry and brandy.
No, sorry and thank you.
Like a sorry and thank you. Is that like a Vulcan hello?
An Irish goodbye?
It's like an Irish goodbye, a Vulcan hello, a sorry and thank you.
That sounds racist.
I don't use that term.
The very minimum prejudice.
Playfully
prejudiced, perhaps?
Playfully prejudiced.
And perhaps.
And then,
perhaps.
But prejudice nevertheless.
And then I have like things to begin the episode with is the next one. And then at the very end, there's goodbyes.
What color are those?
These are all green. I'm all in green right
all
now.
Green.
I'm
okay.
all in green.
Okay, okay.
Really? Because I would have said teal.
And it's all the same green.
No, if you listen to what I'm saying, I'm telling you all the conversational things are green, and I'm talking about green right now.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
All right, Fraser. I'm sorry. Look at Dan. I'm sorry. He said I'm listening. The only response to that is a reference to Fraser.
I gave you the color coding, which ended on brown. When I'm now talking about green, which is just things that fit in our conversation.
I like green.
It begins with thank you. It begins with I'm sorrys. It begins with thank yous. Then it has the greetings at the beginning of the episode. At the very end, it has the goodbyes in the episode. Next to the very end, it has some questions. It has just things in the form of a question. Okay, now we're into the positive negative part in the dead center.
Ha.
It used to be just from positive comments to negative comments. Like, yes is really positive, no is really negative. Or like, that's wonderful is pretty positive, and that sucks is pretty negative. Mm-hmm. But I've now divided them into further groupings of positive.
Sabotage.
From positive to negative. It going from referring to it, referring to they, referring to me, and referring to you. Mm-hmm. And positive, negative to each one of those. And then depending on what's in the episode, I might even divide those further into like something positive, something relating to you, I might split into like things you are and things you plan on doing. Mm. But that I don't always do that.
Okay.
So
you're like the Minotaur in the maze.
Like in that
in the labyrinth.
Ursula
K. Labyrinth.
Don't bring this up because
Ursula K. Le Guin, or is that her name? K. Le Guin? How do you say her name?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ursula K. Le Guin?
Is that how you pronounce
oh,
it?
The author.
Isn't that what you're talking about?
The
Labyrinth?
Sci-fi author?
Isn't there a Minotaur in her Labyrinth?
There's a lot of Minotaurs.
I mean, the Minotaur in the Labyrinth is an old...
it's an old one.
Myth thing.
There's a lot of different...
Oh, well,
and then I don't want to reopen the whole argument about Maze versus Labyrinth.
Right, yeah, we don't need to.
Because that always causes...
Well, I think you just did.
No, I didn't. We're not talking about that.
No,
we're here to talk about...
We have already spoken.
The first duty. We promised this to our listeners. And so we must do it. And I think the first thing we start...
Will Wheaton.
When we're talking about the first duty...
Will Wheaton.
The first thing we must talk about, even before Will Wheaton, and even before our voicemail that we're about to get to...
Ray Walston.
Oh, I have some... I do have a few lists, too, if we care.
Oh, good. No, thanks for the reminder. All right, so lists coming up, duty or no duty, and voicemail from Grayson, which we're looking forward to. That's coming right up. But the first thing we have to discuss before all of that...
Our first duty...
is the season 5 crazy font on The Next Generation.
It's all like, you know, all like swooshy. It has a trail or whatever?
It has a trail. And they did that. Didn't they do that on Lower Decks?
Yeah, they made fun of it. Yeah, or they didn't make fun of it. They honored it.
We talked about that.
I remember being a youth, being a young man, growing up.
I don't.
And when season 5 first came on, I don't even know if they did it all. I can't remember if they did it all throughout season 5 or if they sort of gave up on it halfway through. I can't remember, but I just remember being like both my mind being blown and within two episodes being like, I don't know that I like this. It's a little silly. And then they went back to the old regular thing after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I said my piece on that. I thought that might generate more conversation, but I suppose.
Well, what else is there to say about?
See, that's Jesse's indicator that he has nothing to contribute on that point.
Yeah.
Dan is stating clearly that he does not.
I never questioned that conviction.
He has nothing
until
else
now.
To say about that. Okay,
Grayson. You're,
yes, we have to listen to Grayson's voicemail first. So I will play Grayson's.
I've let
voicemail.
Down everyone. I feel awful.
I will play the voicemail and then we will respond accordingly.
Yay.
Hey guys, it's Grayson, formerly just a random weirdo who sent you overly long emails and voicemails, and now
I wouldn't say
I'm
so.
A random weirdo who happens to be a fellow contributor to Isaac Brown's very bingeable podcast, Trek 365. In fact, I have a episode of Trek 365 coming up. I have several coming up, but I'm doing one on the first duty, which will air
episode.
Later this year in the
that's
fall, maybe. I wanted to drop in because in my analysis of this episode, I talk a lot about one guy who doesn't get a lot of mention when people talk about this episode, and that's Josh Albert's dad.
Yeah.
And his line where he says to Wesley, "I'm sorry he let you down." Yeah. And he's talking about his son, Josh, and it just wrecks me. It's like, this father who's trying to make sense of something senseless. And it hits the same emotional note for me as Dear Evan Hansen. You guys are musical theater adjacent. At least you know of musical theater. But anyway, there's a song in Dear Evan Hansen called To Break in a Glove, which is a dad trying to pass along what he's learned in life to the wrong kid, because for him and his kid, it's too late. And that line, "I'm sorry he let you down," that is the linchpin for this episode. It's not Picard's big speech in his ready room, and it's not Wesley making the right decision and yada yada. It's that line. It's that dad. It's that actor who just makes this episode.
Ed Lauter.
The other thing I love about this episode is it's so open-ended. Like, there's no ending to this episode. It just kind of stops, because what else is there to do? This kid is dead. He's not going to come back to life. Picard is still disappointed in Wesley. He's not going to validate him. And Wesley has to repeat a year at the academy, I think. And it's such a good non-ending, but it still feels so satisfying. Yeah. The only thing that doesn't satisfy me, and I didn't get to talk about this in my Trek 365 episode because it's only 365 seconds and it's not enough time to get the whole shebang in.
Really?
So the thing that I didn't get to talk about, and I'm hoping you guys talk about today, is Boothby and the secret that he knows about Picard that we don't get to learn before this episode is over. I mean, Picard did something that almost kept him from graduating, but Boothby saved him, and What was it? Yeah, right. Please tell me you guys are going to talk about this, because I need to know what you guys think Picard did.
Maybe we'll in
order
that for
to
later.
Almost get kicked out of the Academy before he became the captain of the flagship. What do you guys think that secret is? Okay, thanks. I'll be listening for you guys on Trek 365, in addition to where I hear you every Monday. Yeah, talk to you later. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Agamus! Okay, so I actually had both those points.
Okay, well, there's 3 points.
Well, there was the Boothby, there was the shame, and then there was
Josh Albers' dad.
Yeah.
Ambiguous ending.
Ambiguous ending. Right.
And Picard's secret.
Right. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I guess I had two of the
ambiguous ending.
The ambiguous ending.
You know what we'll
do?
We'll talk about it. We will. By the way, Grayson, we will. Excellent points.
You will be.
I believe we're intending.
Yes.
We are indeed intending. We're intending to respond to each of these points. Why don't we respond to the ambiguous ending?
Sounds
point
like my superintendent.
Hi, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
We'll respond to that at the end of the episode, or later in the episode. Dan,
sounds like my superintendent.
You were talking about 2 points. Which point did you want to address now?
By the way, those two sounds I played were yellows.
Were the Super Nintendo Chalmers?
Yeah,
when
I played.
Sounds like my superintendent.
Hi, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
All right, see,
because my Super Nintendo was great.
After when I use outside sounds from outside the episode, or I often make an extra thing category just to.
But they're still yellow.
Well, I mean, it might be light blue. Could be light blue or yellow.
That's right. You've informed us that light blue and yellow are for some reason interchangeable.
Because like I just never remember which. I never bothered to like assign one because they're supposed to be really open ended. No, look, they're supposed to be what they are. Is they're supposed to be like really open ended kind of. It's like, this is the anything box. It's just, it's an arbitrary categorization, if that's even a thing.
Is it arbitrary, or is it subconsciously?
That is definitely
because
a thing.
It's the colors of Invincible's outfit on Invincible. You know the character of Invincible?
Are the colors of our...
Yellow and light blue?
Are the colors of our podcast... Yeah. In the podcast icon.
Yeah, you keep saying, you're saying words and you're waving your arm around.
Like John Cena. That? I'm waving like John Cena. You can't see me. You can't see me.
You're doing a John Cena wave, and I really honestly am doing my best. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't know how to interpret this. What's the question?
Well, guess what? I was asking it before you start. I'm in the middle of asking a question. It's like, wait a sec. Before you finish that question, I got to ask.
What's the question? I got to say. You make a mighty fine point there, Dan. What was the question?
Star Trek.
I was so worried about the colors.
You said the colors. It might pick yellow and light blue because it's invincible. Yeah. Colors of Invincible. And then I was going to ask, which I will ask now.
All right.
Did you pick the colors of the icon that represents our show in the podcast world? Because it looks like McDonald's colors?
No, is that what you thought?
It's like a bright red and yellow.
We haven't changed the podcast icon since it started.
Yeah, I always kind of thought that was a McDonald's
6 years
reference.
Ago.
McDonald's.
No.
They have good McNuggets.
In all of our marketing materials for the core colors, particularly red, yellow, and blue, I use the hexadecimal codes, the official hexadecimal codes for Star Trek colors.
I use the official hexadecimal codes for the Star Trek colors.
The red is
it on my Linux.
I open up my Linux and I store the hexadecimal values in Notepad plus on my Linux box.
Command.
I have a special Linux box.
That's a bare metal virtual system on my Unix box.
It's science and medicine / ops and command, those colors, that's what I use. So I always use those hexadecimal codes.
I'm sorry, I was talking over you. You use them for what?
Okay, no, I'm saying I use them for the marketing of the podcast.
Yeah, and I'm saying red and yellow.
The source is not from McDonald's.
Well, it looks like McDonald's
colors.
No,
because it's not McDonald's red and it's
and
not
I know
McDonald's
you like,
yellow.
And I know you like McDonald's.
I mean, I like McDonald's fine.
You used to love McDonald's.
I mean, no more than... Any other
not true
that shit is
red-blooded
fresh,
right-thinking American boy.
okay, well, I can't argue with your opinion on that.
You're gonna say you don't love McDonald's the same amount as me.
I'm often disappointed by McDonald's.
Well,
but that's when
it
McDonald's
depends on the McDonald's.
But when they
it
make,
does depend on the McDonald's.
It does when they make a good burger. I've brought this up several times.
Did you want to lead the conversation in this?
No.
It just seems like
no. I promise.
A question about McDonald's colors, and now you're about to give a treatise.
Like one time, perfect burger. And I brought this up here before. I don't know if I brought it up on the podcast, but there was one time I had the perfect McDonald's quarter pounder. It was on a Sunday afternoon. The shit was steaming. It was steaming.
I think you have brought it up.
Most of the time I get a McDonald's burger, they're kind of like warm and floppy. This was steaming beef.
It's like you have to go like early in the day when everything's fresh.
It was so good. But it was a good burger, but I wouldn't say it's the best. Look, I'm just saying,
which
like
McDonald's was
in high school, Patrick would have much rather gone to McDonald's than any other fast food restaurant.
Yeah,
as much as you liked Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
The McDonald's at like Grand Park is a solid McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. That's the new name for that particular strip mall.
Loman's. It used to be Loman's Plaza.
Loman's Plaza. Yeah.
All right. No, it's not McDonald's colors to quickly answer that question.
I didn't notice any blues.
Well, we often use blue, and for example, for our Patreon at patreon.com/itchgotstartrek, instead of a Star Trek symbol in the background, it's a dollar sign, and instead of the command red or whatever you want to call it, it's the medical blue with the text is still yellow.
That demonstrates a serious lack of judgment.
No, it's actually, I thought, very clever to utilize the exact Star Trek colors for the logo for a Star Trek podcast. Did that answer your question, Grayson?
Oh, yeah, we had other things to talk about on that, too, didn't we?
You know, Danny,
we didn't actually approach any of those points. Why were we talking about
that? We have 3 points.
You talked about Superintendent, and I played...
Hi, Super Nintendo Chalmers!
And then I went to explain about my colors, and then you were like, Invincible. Yeah. And I love Invincible. That's an amazing show. I love that show. Yeah. I watched the second season. I watched the first and second season probably 3 or 4 times straight through.
They're great.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, again.
Okay.
Stay on track.
Let's talk about shame. You want to talk about shame?
You're talking about this is Josh's dad and Wesley hearing from Josh's dad.
Commander Albert. Josh's dad.
Joshua Albert.
Yes. It really looked painful every day because they kept cutting to him and it was more painful each time. Yes. And when Locarno goes, I think Josh got frightened and tried to pull out of the turn prematurely and then crashed into Cadet Hajar.
You mean Hazare?
I think that was the line where Locarno, before he said that, he took in this deep woof. He was like, whew. You remember? He breathed in.
I do not remember.
He goes, Admiral, Josh was a good pilot, but lately he'd been having difficulties. He'd get nervous during the close flybys and pull away in the final seconds. His formation flying was a little erratic. You know, he gave a little whoosh, just to kind of like symbolize that. Like,
I get what you're saying. Now.
Yeah, he's like, he's trying to pretend like, I don't want to tell you this, I'm his friend, but he's not really his friend. He's an asshole.
And then
the Brand and Locarno go back and forth, and then Locarno goes, I think Josh, in that same series of words, Locarno goes, now depending on your scope you choose, that can mean just about anything, but yes. Locarno goes, I think Josh got frightened and tried to pull out of the turn prematurely and then crashed into Cadet Hajar. And then it cuts to Albert, and he looks so sad and so upset, like, oh man. And then later, as Grayson said, when he approached Wesley, he's like, he was basically like, I realize it was my son's fault. I'm sorry he let you down. Like, he seems so ashamed. Mm. He was also, which sucks for Albert, right? It sucks for him to feel that way. But he was also like, about Josh, he goes, if Josh had a weakness, it was mathematics. And then he goes, his mother and I thought he'd never get out of calculus. Mm-hmm. Which I say, it kind of sucks that Albert is so quick to have
never
all this to have all this shame for his son in all these areas. He sounds like a tough dad. Because it seems like he's kind of down on Josh in all areas. He's like, yeah, he's bad at math. We thought he was failing out of school. Oh man, he let you down.
But that was the foundation for when he then says how proud he was to overcome those deficits to the point where he even got on the Nova Squadron.
Yeah, but the thing is I bet Josh probably felt like he had to join the Nova Squadron to impress his dad.
I agree with you.
And so,
it's a subtext going on here. If this were a 1980s movie, there would be a fleshed out subplot about the dad learning over the course of the movie that he should not have been so angry at his son, and that he was the one that led to his son's death.
Yeah. And Wesley adds a little color to that, too. He goes, when he's talking about how he couldn't do math or calculus or whatever, Wesley goes, no, he could do it. He just didn't like to. Yeah. And so it kind of sounds...
You're all just like ragging on this dead boy.
I know.
I hadn't really thought of it that way. I mean, I don't know if that's how we're intended to interpret it.
It's kind of fucked up.
But I'm enjoying this interpretation.
No, he could do it. He just didn't like to.
It makes Josh to seem out to, like, he's kind of a slacker, maybe. Yeah. He's like he began life as a slacker, and he's just trying to overcome his slacker tendencies.
Not only a slacker, but, like, timid.
Yeah, yeah, they came up with this narrative.
He's an innumerate slacker. Hey, how would you like to go through life if you got killed in college and everyone just thought of you as an innumerate slacker? That was your reputation, your perennial, lasting reputation.
Perineum?
A fucking innumerate slacker.
Only Boothby knows the truth.
Well, it's interesting because Boothby.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Hey, Dan, can we hold that thought for a second and just go to break?
Can we
go to break on Truthby?
Truthby.
Oh, I didn't know we were already at break time.
We're at break time. Look at the clock. All right, half an hour. Hey, everyone. We will take a break in just a moment. We're going to take a break. And then when we return from the break, we will continue talking about this episode. How's that sound? Good? All right. Man. We will be right back.
Dismissed.
And we're back!
And we're
How are you feeling, Wesley?
Jesse and I fought over that one.
Thank you all for coming.
Oh, thank you, Dan.
Jesse, you were saying like Boothby knew what the score was last segment? Because it's true.
Point number Boothby two, Picard's secret. Grayson asked about Picard's secret.
So I just wanted to quickly interject that Boothby was like, when Picard asked for his advice and he was giving that whole speech about how people would like follow Locarno anywhere, like, I get this feeling like Boothby knew, like...
Yes.
Totally knew what was happening.
Boothby was like, that dude's a shady motherfucker.
And he didn't say anything probably either because it's like, well, I have no proof. They wouldn't believe me. Or it's like, it's not. I've got the feeling of like, they can work their own shit out or something like that.
What was
like
the
that.
Deal with like.
It's just interesting that Boothby like played. He doesn't play a role. He doesn't like.
He's the magical white guy.
He's just he knows
the
shit.
The magical wasp.
Magical Anglo.
He can tell you shit. He knows shit. He can tell you shit. He can boss people around. He's got enough power that he can like go up to Picard and say things like
right.
What happened to your hair?
Is Boothby like, does he actually exist in the same universe or is he like a trans-temporal sort of being?
No, he's just... What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What I'm trying to say... he's not. I don't think he's some alien or something.
You never know.
It was never explicitly stated that he's
what
not.
What I'm trying to say is that he can get away with saying what he wants to people. He knows the score. He'll provide people with information.
Boothby knows the score.
But he doesn't actually get involved. So
that sounds like a Jeeves and Wooster story.
So it seems...
Because he's not in Starfleet. He's just a gardener.
So it seems like he's really just a plot device. What Boothby is.
Well, I mean, I wasn't joking. He is the magical white guy, as in the magical, wise character who is like a jester outside of authority, but adjacent to it, has some authority over authority.
What was the deal
Why
with,
does
like,
he have to be white?
He kept having to like replant that flower bed because like people kept falling in it. Like, what was, like, there was some guy.
I took that to mean that people were canoodling in the flower
bed.
They were canoodling in the flower bed. And to answer your question.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
I was making a comical reference
to
the magical Negro trope.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Of the black character in many white tales where the black character comes and helps the white guy.
Right. I know. I was just seeing.
In this case, Star Trek The Next Generation is very progressive by making the black character a white guy.
A very old white fellow.
But there was that kid who was just fucking sitting in the flower bed. Like, it's like, how do you not know that you're not supposed to
sit
on a
kid? Was there a kid sitting in the flower bed?
Yeah, when he was
old. Maybe
all...
he's from a planet that doesn't have flowers.
What? I think he's just a human.
That's the same.
We did
difference.
See. Remember when we did In the Flesh in, I believe, what was that, episode 282 of It's Got Star Trek? We did Voyagers in the Flesh, and we saw Boothby's simulacrum in the Delta Quadrant.
That was a recent. Yeah. Yes.
So no, but do you remember? It was this part where he goes,
"Hey, can't you see that's a flower bed?"
And then I've amped up the volume. You can't hear it too well, but I amped it up because I'm awesome.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
That's what that guy did. And he like walks away and he's like sitting reading a book on top of a bunch of flowers.
Yeah.
Like, so.
So maybe those vaunted Starfleet entrance exams are not all they're cracked up to be.
I guess not.
It's questionable.
They're letting in people who don't know the difference between flowers. And it was a human fellow. It wasn't an alien, right? It was a human. Because if it was like a Bolian or something, you could be like,
maybe it was from New York.
It's a Bolian. He doesn't know what the deal is. Maybe they sit in flowers Bolius.
If he was on that one planet, they'd get to execute him for sitting on those flowers.
Yeah.
That's right.
The sexy planet with all the sexy people.
Yeah.
Right. The rompers.
It's like endless hand jobs in exchange for capital punishment.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I mean, not a direct connection.
They've
got
one rule.
Well, and one more thing about talking shit on Josh. Like,
all right, Columbo.
Sounds like you were sitting on that one.
No,
I wasn't. For a time to use it. Well, like, okay. So Wes is all like, he goes, it wasn't Josh's fault, you know? It's like, he goes, Josh didn't let us down. I thought he was going to say, we let him down, but they didn't, thankfully, actually. I'm not glad they didn't say that.
Oh, is that another bugaboo? Is that an underexplored bugaboo of Dan's?
It could be. And we'll all have to think more on it. There's all sorts of bugaboos I have at my bingle hole.
That's a whole other podcast.
But like, basically they were saying it wasn't Josh's fault, but it still was kind of Josh's fault. He didn't have to go through with this. Yeah. He did go through with it when he wasn't ready.
He ran into some people.
Yes, there were tons of peer pressure. And so I'm saying Locarno is, of course, guilty for being an asshole about it. But in the end, like, Josh did fuck it up. Like, the implication is that Josh, like, did get scared. He did actually get scared, probably, and pull away. Yeah. And
everything was just true.
It was just doing something that they shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah, precisely. But because exactly the scenario that it's likely that a young person is not going to have the chops to be able to actually do it.
Right, but like, and I'm not trying to be too hard on him, but I know it's difficult with peer pressure and stuff, and I know I've done shit that I regretted after I did it, but I'm just saying, he did still do it.
Can we do our Patreon episode called Dan's Regrets?
Oh, God.
Talk about lists.
No.
One of Dan's most famous lists.
The point of this whole thing was
the list gets weirder as it goes on.
Was to, like, you know, blow everybody's tits off at, like, the fucking ceremony and shit. Like,
yeah.
And, like, would that really have worked? Would, like, all those fucking craggly old admirals have been like, oh, that was so fucking amazing. Like, they would have been like, that's dangerous and it's not allowed.
Yeah, the students would have dug it, though.
Like, and, like, but he thinks he's going to, like, go out in some sort of blaze of glory and actually get to graduate.
Yeah. The thing is he would have gone out in a blaze of glory because all the students would have talked about it from then till the end of time. But it might have risked his graduation.
Yeah, like, I don't see him, I see him getting in trouble for that.
But even if it worked. But like, look, all I'm saying is that Josh could have said no, but he didn't. Now, granted, he had a team that was pushing him real hard through peer pressure. He had an overbearing father who was too judgmental of him.
Which is something we hadn't even observed. That's something you noticed. Yeah. I look forward to the next episode of Victim Shaming with Dan Glavitz.
It's like having your parents around all the time.
But that doesn't get to the secret.
Okay, the secret. You want to talk about the secret?
Yes, because Grayson asked us what our thoughts were.
Okay, so
Picard's secret, and I agree. I'm fascinated about this. I love that they made it not even ambiguous. I love that they did not tell us what it is. We know that it's serious enough that it could have affected Picard's entire life thereafter.
Here are the lines. Picard goes, look, you know as well as I do, I would never have graduated if you, Boothby said, you made a mistake. There isn't a man among us who hasn't been young enough to make one. And Picard goes, nevertheless. And Boothby says, you did what you had to do. You did what you thought was best. I just made sure that you listened to yourself. Picard goes, at the time, I thought you were a mean-spirited, vicious old man. Vicious old van. I thought you were a mean-spirited, vicious old man. So, right. And so, like, and that's what makes it even more intriguing about what it is he did, because it seems like Picard did some bullshit.
Right.
And then, like, Boothby, like, either, like, ratted him out or told Picard he was a piece of shit or, like, stole something of Picard's or broke his toys or something.
Just sort of, like, Picard reflecting on his past. But you don't know exactly what's happening, but you see that he's connecting with his past. He gets to go back and talk to Boothby.
Well, he talks to Bran, too. There's actually another story we don't hear about when he goes...
Admiral Bran.
Picard goes, my superintendent was a Betazoid, a full telepath. When he sent for you to his office, he didn't have to ask you what you've done. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not related to Bran.
That's
not Bran.
No. I'm sorry. This is...
That's when Riker was all
this,
like,
no,
you,
this
you,
is...
you got sent to the principal's office, and then Troy gives him this weird beaming smile.
Yeah, okay. No, this is the other story then, which Riker goes, you got called into the superintendent's office. That's a story I'd like to hear. So, sorry, it wasn't about Bran, but it was another bit of Picard's past.
Right.
And that was another story.
Is that the same story?
That's the story he has a clip from, but weirdly he didn't play the clip that time.
What clip?
You have a clip of Riker saying, that's a story I'd like to hear.
Oh.
But then when you brought it up in context...
He played it before.
Do you color...
That's a story I'd like to hear.
Do you color code for audio clips that you will only play out of context and that you refuse to play in context?
Look, it's not fucking easy, man. I've got an array of sounds in front of me.
Never suggested it were.
It's not like when I play something that you deem to be out of context or a non sequitur. It's not... First of all, that's assuming that I think it's non sequitur because have been times where you thought I made something that's a non sequitur and I thought it fit perfectly. There have been times where I admit it's a non sequitur, but it's not like I'm so perfect that I planned for it, which is why I think you're giving me shit.
I'm not giving you shit. Like,
I've said many things that were not non sequiturs, but everybody interpreted them as non sequiturs.
Yeah, like that whole spectacles or the something. No, the, what was it? The something is the spectacles of reason.
Taste is the spectacles of reason.
I thought that was some crazy shit you were saying, and it was actually like a very sophisticated.
It was a quote from like Rousseau.
Yeah, it's a Rousseau quote.
Look, okay, so look, the two. Just going back, the two secrets, and this is about Picard's history, right? There was the story that got him sent to the superintendent's office. That's what I'd like to hear that story. I want to know what that story is. But then this one with Boothby is better because like they allude to it so much and they give you little bits of flavor, like when Boothby was like, I was trying to set you straight, and then when Picard ends with, I thought you were a mean-spirited, vicious old man, that makes it take a turn. Yeah. Like at first it just seems like Boothby just like helped him out of a jam, or he was there for him when he needed him, but really now from the last line it seems like Boothby did some shit that pissed Picard off, but in retrospect Picard was like, That's the reason I graduated. I shouldn't have thought he was a piece of shit back then. I should have been thanking
him. He was rolling around in the flower bed.
So it's an intriguing story that they give you just a few details about. But then the other thing is Brand. He was all like,
she's a formidable woman.
but that's kind of a coincidence though. They were going to meet Brand, but then they were talking about. Do you know Admiral Brand? We've met a few times. She's a formidable woman. My superintendent was.
Hey, Jesse, how's it hanging over here?
Okay, we should be arriving at Earth in 10 hours, 16 minutes. Picard goes, please inform the Academy, Mr. Worf, and send my regards to Superintendent Brand. And Troy's like, do you know her? And he's like, she's great. And then it just so happens that she's the one that happens to call them.
Yeah,
that's kind of a coincidence, I would think.
I mean, yeah, but they're headed there, and that's when something happened, man.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it could have been any admiral. Admiral. It could be any admiral.
Well, she's nobody knew exactly how it happened. We don't know that.
Nobody knew.
And she was
we don't know that. Nobody knew exactly how it happened. We don't know that.
Nobody knew.
And she was communicating about the cadets, right? So it makes sense. I guess, to me, it makes sense. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it makes sense. What is perhaps more interesting is that, according to Memory Alpha, this is the very first time we ever see Starfleet Academy.
In San Francisco?
We've heard it referenced many times since TOS.
Did you notice?
Starfleet Academy is referenced many, many times, but it is not until the fifth season of TNG that we actually get to go see it.
Did you notice
the first Boothby?
We've seen Starfleet headquarters in San Francisco, but not the Academy.
Did you notice the flag? Was it half mast?
It was. I have a note right here. It says flag at half mast.
Yeah.
Presumably for Josh Albert.
I know that.
Oh, and the other thing is this episode was directed by Paul Lynch, but my brain kept thinking it said it was directed David by Paul Lind.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to say David Lynch.
No, David Lynch would be funny. No, but I just kept seeing Paul Lind, and I've been watching a lot of Paul Lind episodes of Bewitched lately.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to see Paul Lind, there's a lot of great Paul Lind stuff out there on Hollywood Squares, for example, but he's really great on Bewitched.
Yeah. He got to you, didn't he?
I don't think he was such a great person in real life, but as a character. Yeah, he's Uncle Charlie or something. Kooky, crazy uncle.
Did he actually play the voice of that rat on the Charlotte's Web movie? Was it a sound alike? Do you all see that Charlotte's Web cartoon?
I think that may have been him. Yeah. And Roger
was that Pendleton? Was the rat the Pendleton?
Alien from American Dad
is modeled after
Paul Lynn. It's basically Paul Lynn.
Sounds like, yes.
And by the way, when you really get into the Paul Lindiverse, that dude was, first of all, like I said, probably not the greatest guy in real life.
He was a wild boy.
But he was pretty funny, and he gets very vulgar in outtakes and stuff, and his sense of humor was pretty interesting. So go have some fun on YouTube. Paul Lind, totally unrelated to this show because it was directed by Paul Lynch. What about
Jay Chataway?
Should we do a list? I don't think we're quite ready for duty or no duty. It's coming up soon, but a list I'd like to do.
So I have a short list of graphics, cool graphics moments. Right. I have a short list.
With TurboGrafx 16.
I have two things.
It's a great podcast. I love this podcast.
I have two things. We already kind of went over Boothby once again, able to say whatever he wants to whomever he wants. That was when he yelled at the cat. He can yell at cadets for sitting in flowers, and he can like talk all grumpy at Picard.
Is that a separate list?
That was like a list that we happened to already sort of go through in our conversation. Like, right. And how he's able to get away with making like irreverent remarks, like what happened to your hair to like Picard and stuff like that.
That's but, list two, but concluded.
Yeah.
List one, we'll get back to his graphics.
Short list of graphics. Another list is 3 points. There are three pissed moments, which I actually already played the sounds for.
Three pissed moments?
Where they were super pissed.
Oh, angry.
Angry. Pit. Like, not like, were you think I meant the British version of pissed?
No, I thought pissed. You might be talking about, like, jars of piss? Urine. Yeah. Like, some sort of modern Sisyphusian myth where somebody's trying to pee into a colander, collect urine in a colander.
Huh.
But it's a colander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't...
I'm very disturbed by what I have heard here today.
Then I have accomplished the task I set out to do.
We've got some tough times ahead, but we've always come through for each other.
You have difficult times ahead.
So, fun graphics, jars of urine.
Angry moments that I already played the sounds for.
Okay.
So we can choose to or not. But then there's one that's just called Shady, and that's 8 points.
Okay, an 8-point Shady list. How about this? Let's start with the graphics.
Okay.
And then we'll move on from there.
The animators, the people in charge of computer graphics were on their game this episode. It was fucking awesome. So there was cool flight animations. One of my favorite parts about flying video games is where you dogfight in jets is sometimes the games, like after you play and die or complete the mission, they'll show an animation of your flight path on like a three-dimensional plane, like a line animation showing, and it'll show you spinning around and doing all sorts. I love watching that animation and like cool dogfighting games like jet as an airplane dogfighting, not
you mean like Sopwith?
They didn't have that feature in Sopwith.
Did they have it in Sopwith too?
I would guess not, but I don't know. I was more into the original Sopwith. But I know, like, for example, Ace Combat games, I think, have that. There's other games that have it. But that's what they had, and it was awesome. And they also, not only did they have the lines, but they showed the ships. They showed the ships going in and out of their formations. Showing the ships going in and out of formation was tight. Okay, so number two cool graphic moment was when they showed the third-person view of Wes flying the ship, where he was like, that's Cadet Locarno coming into view now. They had that third-person view. That would look pretty awesome.
It looked like a computer game.
It looked like that X-Wing game.
Yeah, it did.
You could fly in, like, the little A-wings.
Yeah, it did. And then the effort put into this whole concept and graphic of the Culvert Starburst was
fantastic.
It was the best.
Agreed.
It was great. Everything about that shit is awesome.
Do you know
like
why
the fact that like the explanation they give for how it works, the fact that it is even a thing, and then the animation they did to do it, it made it look spectacular on these these simple computer graphics. This it looked awesome.
This was necessary to the plot, I think, because one of the issues that some of the writers and Rick Berman and others had going into this episode is that you have to buy that Wesley would be swayed by Nick Locarno to do this.
I don't know if I can do this, Nick.
To do this dangerous thing. And the acting of Robert Duncan McNeil and Will Wheaton. And all the others involved, that helps, right? The basic story structure, how they put it all together. But I really do think we can't underestimate how important that graphic was, because it was so cool that when you see it, you're like, oh, okay, I totally get why the fuck they'd want to do that. Because that would be so awesome. Can you imagine seeing that? And that would be really cool to see it in real life. So
none of us has wanted to say it out loud, but we've all had the same thought.
If that was a crappy special effect, it might have undercut the point a little bit. And that's not always true. There's plenty of crappy special effects in Star Trek, but it doesn't matter because the point still comes across. But this had to be good.
And it was a simple, like, it was the, it's not like they were super realistic fancy graphics that didn't matter. It was just the effort they put into it and the design. Something about it like really
it was
came
all fluffy,
off
fluffy.
It came
and
off
zappy.
Yeah, it came off really cool.
Fluffy
and the
zappy.
whole thing about they kept talking about these different things about the states of their ships, and they kept being like, well, you know, we were in within parameters of what we were allowed to be doing or whatever.
Parameters.
You know, we were within
mission operating parameters.
Within mission operating parameters, and then
He's got Dan's looking for some stuff.
It's totally gone.
He's scrolling around.
But now I have to. And now it's a sunken cost fallacy.
Sunk cost. Now he's become obsessed. So Dan recognizes the sunk cost fallacy. He understands it intellectually, and he will proceed to just forge ahead with it.
Just keep going.
He's going to keep going. Okay, well, you keep looking for that. You can interrupt me in a second.
I can't believe it. Sometimes I just can't fucking find these things.
I understand.
Even with my organization, this is why sometimes you got to like pick
the best thing you can find at the time you're given. Yeah. And sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Well, while you're looking, Jesse and I are going to discuss.
You should feel bad.
Wesley Crusher's weird haircut. Especially in the back, where like part of it was just shaved down, like cut.
We don't know that.
No, we do, because you can see the haircut on the TV, especially
on the TV.
You've got a big HD TV, and you're looking at the remastered version. You're looking at you're like over at Dan's house watching on his 180-inch TV.
Oh my god, my TV is like barely bigger than yours.
It's as big as your whole house, dude.
It just looks better because
it takes up a whole wall.
It looks bigger because it fits perfectly between the foyer and the window. It's very oddly placed. But
you have an interesting definition.
I don't have a foyer.
Perfect, by the way.
It like fits perfectly in between. Like the left edge ends at the window, and the right edge ends at the start of the foyer.
Yeah. I don't have a foyer.
Yeah. It's imposing. it's an architecturally imposing piece.
piece.
Now, but if you see the show on the big TV like that, or whatever TV, just get wear your glasses. Check out Wesley's haircut. Look, do an image search for this episode. He's got an odd haircut, and I'm not saying it's a bad haircut. I've just never seen that haircut in my life on anybody at all. And it's not crazy. It's not a crazy alien haircut. I don't know if they were trying to go for this is what future kids would look like, but Locarno doesn't have a weird haircut. He has a perfectly normal haircut. Mm-hmm. It's Wesley who's got the strange do. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I believe I've given Dan enough time to gather his resources together.
The reason I couldn't find it is because I already played the clip and I prepended it with the
prepend
with the word mad one, because there were three mad moments I talked about. This was mad one.
Yes.
And it was like, because they kept talking about how they were doing the state of ships, and they kept being like, we're within flight parameters. And that's when she was like,
that was not my question, cadet.
Right. Yeah. And so but it was interesting how they talked about, you know, how they opened up the thing. And it's like, well, why would they open up the thing? They don't. And they went on with it. They're like, well, they weren't doing this because they'd have to be in the maintenance bay. Well, then why would they do this? I don't know. And they like went through all the processes. And then when they finally settled, it's like, well, geez, you know, if you open the plasma, that would be dangerous to do. That'd be stupid to do up there anyways, because it would explode. And that's when Picard gave his like Gandalf moment of when he was like,
Bilbo.
Yeah. When he's like, that's exactly what they wanted to do.
Bilbo.
That's exactly what they were trying to do.
Yes.
When he was like, vent the plasma, he like had this look, this sort of like really intense, when he was...
Ignite the plasma.
Sweep the leg.
You know, remember like in the part in the Fellowship of the Ring where Bilbo disappears and then it goes up on Gandalf's face and he just raises his eyebrow and it's like really intense look on his face.
And the music's all like... Zip.
Yeah, when it shoots Picard, he goes...
Ignite the plasma.
And he puts his head up. Like his face doesn't change, but he's got this really intense look. You know that he knows what's going on.
You know he knows.
You know he knows that I know that you know that I know that Jesse knows that you know that indeed. I know that you know that Jesse knows that Patrick knows that I know that you know that Jesse knows that Patrick knows that you know.
We know Jesse's thoughts on that.
Captain Picard doesn't know anything.
All right, shall we do the a quick run through of the mad moments?
Oh yeah, we already did them, but I can go through.
Yeah, I want to hear them in context.
Okay, you hear them in context, says the Patrick of the man. Okay, number one, it was when I just said, when Bran goes, how do you explain the fact that the low apogee turn
apogee,
and round Titan was
apogee,
at least
apogee.
Was at least 2,000 kilometers closer to the moon than indicated in your plan? And Hajar goes, we were still within flight safety parameters. To which she goes,
that was not my question, cadet.
And that moment, she was super pissed. You could tell she was like, she's like, don't give me that lip.
All right.
You know, and that's like the sound of a judge, like thinking that the person on the stand is being like irreverent or just being a snide little snot or whatever. And it's a scary moment for people. Number two, Bran goes, if you were flying on sensors alone, by the way, Satelk. He didn't say sensor.
Standard sensor sweep.
He didn't say sensor. So Tuvok says sensor, Spock says sensor, and you claimed that that's just something Vulcans say.
I didn't claim that all Vulcans say it. It's commonly said about Vulcans. You can go back and look. I will defend this to my dying day.
I said Tuvok said censors.
That every Vulcan said that. I just said it's a Vulcan thing. Vulcans
but
like
it's not
that.
A Vulcan thing because he
standard censors.
It's not a Vulcan thing because he didn't say. Thing. But he didn't say it.
He's one Vulcan out of many.
Those were just two Vulcans out of many.
You know, Edict, okay. Infinite diversity, okay. And infinite fucking combinations.
Okay, how can you claim that it's
dude?
How can you claim it's a Vulcan thing based upon two examples? You're asking me how I can do it based on one example. Well, one is 50% of two. So when it comes to three total examples, and one of them is not saying censor sweep, that's a large portion of the data set.
I don't rely on just two. I rely on so many more. T'Pol does it. Tuvok does it. Spock does it.
You're just naming Vulcans, and you know I don't know off the top of my head.
Naming Vulcans. You know what you need, Patrick?
Do you know what you need?
I named three Vulcans that were all main characters on their shows.
Do you know what you need, Patrick?
Oh, no.
Evidence!
That's what you need, because you have no evidence that they say those
and
things.
And neither do you, and you
well, I have evidence of one of them. You only have evidence of two of them. So what
so
we
I
have...
Wait, I've got 50% more evidence than
so
you.
So evidence out of three... Our
100%
data, our data set is... we have three data points in our set and of evidence, and 50% and 33% of that says...
Look, I was,
no.
My parents weren't sure I would make it out of calculus, so I don't know why you're throwing all this fucking
math
at me.
You're just... You know I'm
That's
right.
That's called a callback.
You know I'm right.
All right.
That's
indeed.
Why you did that.
I do want to get along with this list because we've still got duty or no duty to do.
Oh my gosh, there's so many things to duty.
We've got other things to talk about.
Okay, okay.
Like the fact that Picard is a wrestler and you can talk to some wrestling stuff.
Okay, were you going to say something about censors a minute ago?
No, I wasn't. Oh. You were talking about censors.
No, I said, but you
anger.
Were, but yeah, you, but
mad,
you,
mad moves. But mad one, mad two, mad three.
I said censor, and then you were like, by the way,
by the by.
And then you were going to do something, but then you didn't do it.
I don't think I was going to do something.
It made it seem like you were. Anyway.
Oh, you're right. I was going to talk
oh,
about
boom,
it.
Oh, boom, boom, motherfucker.
No, thanks for
you
reminding.
Don't even know when you say I'm wrong.
Thanks
you
for,
don't even know. You don't need, this is evidence that you didn't even know when you said I was wrong.
Thank you for reminding me of the thing I was going to mention.
God damn, but you just assumed I was wrong.
Satelk. Of course. Satelk.
See? How can I believe anything you have to say?
Satelk was played by Richard Fancy, which, first of all, that's always funny when you get to hear Richard fucking Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Fancy, we saw him not too long ago. He played the white sky god guy in Tattoo. He was the main person, the main white man who was telling Chakotay that native peoples on Earth learned all their knowledge from these white
right.
aliens.
I remember him.
So Richard Fancy, he made for an odd Vulcan. Mm-hmm. I liked him because he made for an odd Vulcan. He was kind of little puffy mm-hmm. around the neck. He didn't say censors. He was acting in an odd way.
The way he talked, he was funny. He goes,
computer display Saturn Navcon file 6-379. These images were obtained from a navigational control satellite in orbit around Saturn during a standard sensor sweep. Magnify sector Gamma 3 and enhance.
Gamma do, booba dooby dooby do.
Indeed.
Standard sensor sweep, standard sensor sweep, standard sensor sweep.
Okay, we're coming up on break in just 3 minutes here, Dan, so let's get through this.
Your
list.
Unwillingness to offer any explanation for this contradiction
All
is
right.
disappointing.
Was that the other end?
And raises suspicion.
No, that was in reference to your sensor Vulcan thing.
Okay.
No, but the
number two,
Bran goes, if you were flying on sensors alone, perhaps you could tell us the orientation of the ship before the collision. Sito's like, I don't know. And then she goes,
you knew what you had
no,
to do.
No, that wasn't it. Shit. That wasn't it. Sorry. I knew that was wrong. I was looking at the color coding when I should have been looking at the words. Okay. My apologies.
Mad two.
Okay. She goes, if you're flying sensors alone, perhaps you could tell us the orientation of the ship before the collision. Sito goes, I don't know, sir. And then she goes,
you were flying a ship, traveling 80,000 kph, with Cadet Albert's ship less than 10 meters away, and you don't know what his orientation was.
She's dressing her down right there, man.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's fucking fast to be traveling that close. 80,000
kph. Do you know what that stands for?
Kilometers per hour.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Yeah.
That's a fast.
That is a fast. All right. Mad number three.
And this is the classic. This is the classic. Wesley's, in fact, I will just play them back to back because I have that option to do that because I am an amazing person who can do all sorts of stuff. It's this part when Wesley goes,
I choose not to answer, sir.
You choose not to answer.
I choose not to answer, sir.
Choose not to answer.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
That is really fucking awesome.
You choose not to answer.
I choose not to answer, sir.
Choose not to answer.
I choose not to answer, sir.
Choose not to answer.
I choose not to answer, sir.
Choose not to answer.
I choose not to answer, sir.
All right. That was a mad Picard moment.
That was indeed a mad Picard moment. All right, how about this? Let's get ready to go to break.
Oh my God, already?
Yeah, well, we got
so many things to get through.
I know, but we only have so much time. The human brain can only comprehend so much. It's got Star Trek in one sitting. So we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we are going to do, finally, at long last, a mega stuffed entry in the duty or no duty.
We still did have the 8-point list.
And we've got Dan's 8-point list, as well as various odds and ends and other bits and bobs and doodads and that sort of thing. So,
Mom,
we'll take a break and we'll get to all that when we get back. So, in fact, and that being said, hey, folks, you know what I'm going to tell you?
Did your attention falter?
It did somewhat, Dan.
I was so worried about you.
I will admit my brain got a little ahead of myself. My brain is eager for this break.
I want you to be absolutely clear on this point, Mr. Crusher.
Indeed you do. And that point is that we will be right back.
We have to hang on just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Hey.
Your message said it was urgent.
All right, Dan, tell me.
On screen.
Are we ready? Are we ready for this big mega stuffed entry?
Mega stuffed
of duty or no
don't
duty?
Don't they make triple stuffed Oreos?
They do.
They do.
They make quadruple stuffed at special holidays and during national tragedies. They make they sell the quadruple stuffed, but those are limited
quadruple. Time. It's a shame we had to get them together this way.
Yeah.
While we're doing the list or the duty or no duty?
Let's save the list for last. Let's do some duty or no duty. I'm eager to do this duty or
there
no duty.
There are...
Let me lead us into the duty or no duty.
Right, hey, every everybody, let's play a game. It's time to test your ears. It's never the same. Did they say duty or was it duty? Listen close now, don't get snooty. Duty or no duty, that's the game for you. Are they serious or is it poo? Laugh it up. Duty or no duty, what will you do?
What will you do, Dan?
Two nose ears, it's on the line. Duty or no duty every time.
Duty or no duty.
That was AI, right?
Every time. Chief
O'Brien.
No. We used the AI before, but you know, AI, it's soul sucking and all that. So I paid $100,000.
It's worth every penny.
For people to record that song for us. Sorry, guys, that was all of our Patreon money we've made so far. I didn't ask you if we could spend it on that, but all right.
I was not expecting that.
I know.
That was quite an intro.
Holding that in reserve. And there's a longer version, too. That's the
Oh, man.
Version.
I was going to say, like, you could shave off like 10 seconds of that.
Yeah, if I had more time, because I thought of that idea like literally
is the other
10
version,
minutes before we
is the other
the
version
podcast.
Sound the same but longer?
It's got a bridge.
But is it like the same song basically?
Yeah, but it's got a probably. Pretty decent bridge.
It's, yeah, but it's not like a new entirely different song.
No, I mean I have a few different versions that are not as good as that one.
Okay.
The morning to the
there day. Are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 duty or no duties.
Okay, yeah, so. Baby.
All right, number one. Does everyone know how to play duty or no duty?
Yes. As we explained before, we have to determine whether they said
I know how to play
duty or duty. If they said duty, then we declare no duty.
Yes.
If they said duty, right. We will declare duty. Although last week we had for the first time ever.
Really?
Jesse wasn't here. Where it was, we couldn't figure it out. We couldn't figure out whether it was duty or no duty.
I'm not joking, Lee.
It was the T.
I did wonder about.
Was not there. Anyway. All right.
Sabotage.
So how many, remind me again, how many duties or no duties?
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not even six.
Jesus.
Not eight.
Oh my, what?
But seven.
Okay.
You were getting worried there for a minute, weren't you?
Seven.
You're like, that might be too much.
Yeah.
Okay, number one.
We are en route to Earth, where it will be my pleasant duty to deliver this year's commencement address at Starfleet Academy. Mm-hmm. My pleasant duty to deliver. My pleasant duty to deliver.
No duty.
I let Jesse say it first because otherwise.
Okay, here we go.
Dan sometimes accuses Jesse of just
very
saying,
crisp.
Just agreeing with me.
I apologize for that last week.
No duty.
I said I would try to do better in the future.
But this one you agree, and I think Dan, you generally agree when Picard says it. He enunciates mm-hmm. his T's.
Well, that, and that was very. There was
he is
very
from
obvious.
England.
Yeah. He's got staccato T's.
And before you say, and before anyone gets, because sometimes people here have gotten on my case about bringing ones that are obviously no duties. It's like with it's the scientific method. Mm-hmm. All right.
Wait a minute.
There are,
who gets on your case?
It's happened in the past. Maybe not you, but other
not
people
me.
Have. I don't know. But it's happened before, not a big deal. I'm just saying it's like the scientific method. Like, there's experiments that occur, and people mm-hmm. are often like, well, common sense would have told you that's true. And it's like, that's irrelevant. Until they perform the experiment, you can't, you know, you can't just assume something
Agreed.
Is true.
Mm-hmm.
And
Agreed.
So that's why we have, even though it seems obviously no duty, we have, for science, we have yeah. to play it out
to science. I fully support yeah. you in this, Dan. I think
you.
If there... is an incident
it sounds beautiful.
Of a duty or no duty, it's our obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it's expected by the audience at this stage. If we were to not do it, in fact, sometimes you have missed it. It's occasionally you've missed a duty or no duty, mm-hmm. and there is great disappointment both mm-hmm. on the podcast and in the wider world. Like if you have a metric of disappointment, a collective metric for the entire world, it goes up, even if it's a marginal amount, it goes up if you forget
if,
to do
if
it.
I missed a duty or no duty, it must have been like, I must have been really off that week.
Yeah.
It's
I don't
been
remember.
A while.
I don't
it's
know.
Been a while.
You get them all.
But, no, there's been a couple. There's been a couple.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's rare.
I don't know.
All right, well, let's move on to the next duty or no duty. That was very clearly
no duty.
No.
Duty two.
The cadet should know that even after a tragedy like this, there are still duties to perform. There are still duties to perform. There are still duties to perform.
Well,
that's another no duty.
No duty.
Yeah.
No duty.
No duty.
Very nice.
0 for 2.
Number nice.
Are we 2 for 2 or 0 for 2?
Well, it's a no duty.
Oh, so it's an 0 for 2.
I don't want this one to matter.
But isn't it? But
duty
isn't,
or no
but
duty.
But don't we want them to say duty? Because that's how it's...
Honestly, I'm agnostic as to. And to me, it's funnier when they say duty because then if they say duty, it can mean both duty and
duty.
It makes you think of little poops,
little tiny poopies.
Little
okay,
tiny poops.
So far no duties for both. Number three,
we were Nova Squadron. Nobody else could say that. And even after we graduated, we tried to get posted on the same duty. The same duty. The same duty. The same duty.
That's a duty.
I think that's a duty.
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 Wow, we are all in agreement.
I think
with
that's
each other.
Nick
that's Licardo.
A Licardo.
That's a big Licardo duty.
It's Licardo. Did you say Licardo?
Ricardo.
Whatever his fucking name.
You say like Robert Picardo? Is that what you're trying to say?
Ricardo.
Ricky Ricardo.
Licarno.
Lucy, what did
what
you
is
do?
It? It's Licarno.
Picardo. John Luke.
Licarno.
John Luke Picardo. So we got two duties, or two no duties, and this last one was a duty, unanimously
a duty.
Decided. Okay, number four.
The first duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth, whether it's scientific truth, or historical truth, or personal truth.
That's no duty.
The first duty, the first
well,
duty.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, that's why I remember what I said about the scientific method?
Nice staccato duty.
Picard. I think what will be interesting
but
is if we ever come across a Picard where he's sloppy. Mm-hmm. Sloppy Picard, and he's like, duty. Now, if he were a Cockney Picard, if he was all like,
duty, isn't it?
Your first duty's to the truth.
Right.
It's to the truth, bruv.
He's from Yorkshire. Well,
your first duty's to the truth, bruv.
What would you duty?
Good on ya, duty. It's got a good duty.
So I say no duty.
Duty or no duty.
Jesse, what do you say?
Yes.
Duty. No.
Okay. You both answered incorrectly.
No duty.
What?
No duty.
Wait, yeah, Jesse means no duty.
Yes.
And what do you mean, Patrick?
No duty.
Okay, yes. Gotta use the words. It's like Jeopardy.
Right. So far, I think we're all in general agreement on all of these. No controversies thus far.
Number five, still alive.
He got to you, didn't he? Picard told you some big story about duty and honor. Duty and honor. Duty and honor. Yeah.
I think Licarno is a duty guy.
He's a duty guy.
He's all about the duty.
He's all about that's a
at
definite
least thus
duty.
Far.
Okay, the next two I decided to combine into one because they happen so close to each other.
Okay, now wait, okay, hold on. Momentary.
This is 6 and 7.
Momentary orientation and explanation for us. So this is 6 and 7?
Yeah, but I will play each of them separately, but I'm going to play the initial one with them together.
Okay, because it's. Is that how it happens in the episode?
In the episode, they just happen to be so close to each other that.
Okay.
It just made more
sense.
Well,
listen and trust that it'll make
sense. It'll make sense in the end.
All right.
Okay. So far, we all agree which are duties and no duties. Yeah. Here's the 6 and 7.
We're Starfleet cadets.
We have a duty to the truth.
What about your duty to your friends?
We have a duty to the truth.
What about your duty to your friends?
We have a duty to the truth.
What about your duty to your friends?
We have a duty to the truth.
What about your duty to your friends?
We have a duty to the truth.
What about your duty to your friends?
We have a duty to the truth.
What about your duty to your friends?
And then short.
We have a duty to the truth.
That's the first one. Duty.
No duty.
Wait.
We have a duty to the truth.
That's duty.
No, that's Wesley, and he's a no duty.
What do you say,
Jesse?
I
think Locarno is a duty.
I promise I won't get mad. What do you say, Jesse? I'm going to play it again.
We have a duty to the truth.
I hear T.
Yeah. No duty.
That, to me, is a clear duty.
Really? We have a duty to the truth.
No. Duty. He says duty.
No, he says duty.
He does not say
duty. Duty to the truth.
Okay, here comes the controversy.
There is a crisp.
Yes, Wesley Crusher is speaking more like his mentor, Captain.
Not even close. You can't say that this.
We have a duty to the truth.
Is anything close to this?
My pleasant duty to deliver.
No, it's not as clear.
There are still duties to perform.
The same duty.
But he's young. He'll
learn. The first duty.
See, listen to that.
The first duty.
We have a duty to the truth.
He'll get there eventually. Wait, he's not there yet, but he will get there eventually.
Listen to the difference here.
The first duty.
We have a duty to the truth.
That's duty.
No, it's duty.
It's duty.
All right. Well, again, this is why we put it out there. The audience can let us know. Write in at feedback.
I want to know this. I want. I'm sending an SOS out to the fucking Blue Sky universe.
All right.
I want to know
Blue Sky. Is this at It's Got Star Trek on Blue Sky and other social media?
Please let your voices be heard. Is this duty or no duty?
We have a duty to the truth. We have a duty to the truth. We have a duty to the truth.
I'm saying...
See, I think...
Jesse and I think Wesley is enunciating the duty, so that
no,
means it's
the
a
reason
no
you
th-
No,
duty.
I know why you think that. It's because he says the word truth after that, so you're getting the T from truth mixed up to the D in duty.
You know, you could be right. I could buy that argument. I don't,
you're
but
conflating
I could.
Them.
But no, I don't think so, but it's at least you have a... You've provided a plausible mechanism of action for my error.
Okay, well, here's Locarno.
What about your duty to your friends?
And duty all the way.
Duty.
That's a duty.
Jesse, do you say duty?
Duty.
Jesse says duty. Awesome.
What about your duty to your friends?
All right, so we agreed on 6 out of the 7 of them.
Yeah.
And actually,
that's pretty good, considering there were 7 and we often disagree, right? That's a pretty good track record.
There's a bonus. There's a bonus one, actually.
Ooh.
Listen closely, both of you. Jesse, listen closely.
Yes.
Stayed after class. Got a tutor.
Tutor or no tutor?
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right, play it again.
Stayed after class. Got a tutor.
All right.
Well, I'll play it. I'll play it closer to the thing. Hold on.
That's a tutor.
Stayed after class.
Whoops, wrong way. God damn it.
And you mean tutor as somebody who farts?
Yeah, exactly. That's actually
tutor
what I mean.
Tutor or
that's,
no
I'm
tutor.
Glad that, I'm glad that you were able to be in alignment with me about
this
that.
This is a tutor, and I'm enjoying
it. Got a tutor.
I'm enjoying the fact that it's inversing. That's what I'm, you know what I mean? Yep. It's the inverse of the T and the D, because in this case,
got a tutor.
The poopy sound is the T sound.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting point.
Yeah.
Got a tutor.
Yeah. It sounds like he's saying it's no tutor, which would be tutor.
Yeah, it's a tutor.
So it would be no tutor.
No, this is it. No. It's not tutor. That's what I'm saying. The inverse is that this is tutor or no tutor.
Okay, you're approaching the game differently. You're saying the game should be tutor or no tutor.
Yes, and this case, it's a tutor.
But in the game of tutor or no tutor, it's a no tutor.
Yes, but it shouldn't be that game, because in duty or no duty, put up with this for a second.
So you're saying the name of the game has to refer to whether it is poop related or not.
Exactly.
Okay.
You got me, buddy. You got me. Good. All right. So that was the inaugural game of tutor or no tutor.
Tutor or no tutor.
More to come.
Now we,
maybe if anyone ever uses that
this
word.
This can be like some kind of recursive thing. Like when we mention the name of the game, if somebody is sloppy with mentioning the name of the game, tutor or no tutor, when it's supposed to be tutor or no tutor, then we can play tutor or no tutor when someone says tutor or no tutor.
Indeed we can.
And we shall.
And we'll have to make a whole new theme song for that. So... Okay, so
holograms.
That was that, and let's make a few odds and ends before we get to
just a crazy idea.
Get to your final list of eight something or others. I forget exactly what it was, but I was
intrigued. Where would I stay?
I remember it was a list, and I remember there was eight, and I remember my brain attached a tag that said I was really excited to hear it, but I forget exactly what the details are beyond that. So, but we'll get to
I don't
that.
Get it.
No, we will get. We will
I don't get
it in a second.
You don't get it.
just I don't get it.
A couple of odds and ends to mention. First, in addition to this being the first time we see Starfleet Academy, it's also when we see this Academy walking bridge over the little ornamental stream, nice. Which we see again in Lower Decks. In the episode Old Friends, New Planets, I think. Mm-hmm. It's season 4. And as part of a flashback, we see Mariner watching watching Nova Squadron hanging out on this bridge.
Yeah, she's all talking about Nick Liccardo.
Yeah. Did you say Nick Liccardo?
I said Liccardo.
Computer freeze image.
I thought you said Nick Liccardo, just like Jesse said.
Do I bet it nearly did.
Maybe, is it Liccardo or Liccardo? Can we play a Liccardo or Liccardo game?
Oh my gosh. We'd have to record ourselves doing that. I guess that's what we're already doing.
Well.
You even sat in my chair. I was annoyed. You even sat in my chair.
All right. So that was the Academy walking bridge. Wanted
hey, wait. Here's some Picard fry.
You even sat in my chair.
Ah, vocal fry Picard style.
Computer freeze image. Computer freeze image.
Talk about a French fry. Get it?
Because yeah,
Picard is French.
Very, very clever.
Jean-Luc, well, it's not that clever.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Extremely clever. I'm blown away.
There were two incidents in this episode where people repeated words in close...
I know that.
In close succession that annoyed me just from a writing perspective.
Ah, yes.
Because you're supposed to avoid it. I unfortunately don't have the quotes, and I certainly didn't record the clips. But Riker refers to... He uses the word superintendent twice, like in the same sentence.
Hi, Super Nintendo Chalmers!
Which annoyed me. And then Wesley says the word, I think it's either Wesley or Liccardo say the word, or maybe it's Liccardo, says the word team. Again, like in the same sentence and within a few words of each other. Come on. You know.
I mean, come on.
Come on. Don't do that.
Riker goes, sounds like my superintendent. When I was at the academy, we had a Vulcan superintendent.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck?
Josh can't be a part of those plans anymore. But I think he would still want us to be a team.
Was it in that around that area?
No, it went on more than that. There was like a different. It was like team said twice.
Team said twice. Right said Fred. It's like team said twice.
Yeah. While you're looking that up, we do get to see at least a little bit of Geordi and Data hanging out and doing data analysis.
Right.
Was not the main focus of the episode, but I always love seeing them. Just the way they stage the scenes when they're standing next to each other and they're all like just bantering, clever banter as they're solving
and
problems.
And they just wish the best would happen. When they're working together, getting things done, being super useful, and they're just happy to find truth is all, you know?
Yeah.
Geordi and Data finding truth together.
Do you think Picard's secret has anything to do with his wrestling career? Like,
oh, the reverse body lift?
Yeah, because it was a Ligonian. Do you know who the Ligonians are?
Are they big?
No, this is the Code of Honor people. They are big. But remember that horrifyingly terrible TNG episode, Code of Honor? Awful episode. I'm surprised we haven't talked about it yet. Maybe your algorithm will pick it up for us sometime soon. But anyway, Ligonians are from Code of Honor. Mm-hmm. So he wrestled one of them. But I wasn't sure because, Dan, you wrestled.
I did.
So I don't know. You get up to some shady business that might get you thrown out of school if you're on the wrestling team?
Well, I don't think anything. No, I mean, doing a reverse body. Oh, on the wrestling team, unless Picard was taking drugs or something, like it's like performance enhancing drugs.
Wouldn't it be really funny? like we imagine Picard encountered some sort of moral dilemma similar to what Wesley's gotten himself into by some not so great decision making. But wouldn't it be funny if the secret that Boothby know about Picard is that Picard was like juicing on some sort of space steroids. It was like a really sad, story. Like, is nothing redeeming about it at all.
It's hard to like in wrestling, you're allowed to do all sorts of horrible things to your body as long as you're not taking performance enhancing drugs. Yeah. Like, it's encouraged to like take diuretics and run with plastic suits on and all sorts of things that give you heart attacks.
Yeah.
But so yeah, unless he was taking performance enhancing drugs, I don't know. I don't know, but anyway, so, okay, how about this? So, there was this line in the transcript where the transcriber editorialized. Picard goes, this is when Wesley got injured, and he was talking to Beverly. Boo, by the way, Beverly just kept trying to worry about her son, and Picard kept telling her to shut up.
I know.
He kept being like,
it was a little weird.
He was like, Beverly, he's going to be fine.
fine. He's going to be fine. Beverly, he's going to be fine.
We should ask Jesse from Crusher Convo what she thinks about this.
Like, he didn't. He should have just let her get her worries this out.
Representation of Crusher and Picard. You're right. You're right. It was a little. I mean, he was trying to be reassuring, but in
but
a very.
But it was more like trying to
very
like
male.
Yeah, it felt like it felt
just
like,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, it felt like he was discouraging her from feeling emotions.
Well, it was just funny because he's like, okay, so here's the deal. Your son was in a horrible space accident. He got second degree burns over a huge chunk of his body, and they're putting skin grafts on him. Why are you freaking out? And she wasn't even freaking out. She was just like, I'm a doctor, and I'm just talking to doctors.
She did a great job of looking in shock that whole episode.
Yes.
And especially,
yes,
and when
I agree.
And the part where she, poor Beverly, was like, talking to Wesley, she's like, well, the data must be wrong. You wouldn't have lied. Yeah.
And
you know?
The data was all like, I'm never wrong.
Ah, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, but you liked it.
I did. When she was like, the picture must be wrong. You would never lie. Like, either A, she was in denial about her own son's ability to lie, or it was some kind of secret mom guilt trick. Do you think it was a mom guilt trick to try to get Wesley to admit that he did wrong?
No, she believed him.
She believed
him.
Yeah,
100%.
So like,
she was playing it as she couldn't believe her magic little boy would do something wrong.
Yeah, so she
did. And he was embarrassed and annoyed almost. What Will Wheaton did really great in that scene was was the simultaneous, like, he was upset because he didn't want to disappoint his mother, but there's also that little tinge of, mom, I'm an adult, I can do stupid shit.
Right.
Like, I'm allowed to do stupid shit, almost like a bitterness that she wouldn't permit him the capacity to make a mistake, which is very...
I've let down everyone.
It's very frustrating when you're known to be a genius.
We don't know that. We knew it was prohibited.
All right, we've
we knew it was dangerous.
We've only got so much time left, and I definitely want to get to your
okay,
list.
Okay, okay. I just wanted the reason I brought up that second degree burn part is Picard goes, he had second degree burns on his chest and multiple fractures of his right arm, but he's going to be fine. And then the transcriber on Chakotay.net in parentheses wrote, curses, mutters the transcriber whose hopes had been raised by the teaser. Like, as in, like,
that's fascinating.
The transcriber wanted Wesley dead. I know it's jokingly, but like, where does this like hatred of Wesley come from?
I
understand
it's,
that
it's,
like
I
know it's a joke, but it's just like, come on, it's not. I don't understand.
I think there was some real dislike of Wesley by certain segments of the fandom growing up, in particular because I think the intention was, oh look, here's this young character, maybe young people will identify with Wesley. But then
I was annoyed.
He's a super genius and he solves all these problems. Like, I think a lot of young people had trouble identifying with Wesley because
he sat in my chair.
You're not like, oh, I could use math to solve this problem that none of these other people could solve. I was like Wesley. I think I was more annoyed by him as a kid than when I older. But I never hated Wesley.
But the way I played these lines already. But the way he delivers this.
Nobody knew exactly how it happened. Yeah. We don't know that.
I don't know. It's a little excessive. It's kind of like
it's funny.
Yeah.
It's
funny. Real quick, I want to say I like the Wesley's tricep straps. I want one of those things when he was trying to work out his triceps. And I noticed that Picard and Beverly were all shaded out when Wes was like, leave me and Nick alone so we can talk shop or whatever. They played the upset music, the mystery music, and
everything was creepy. All right, let's get to your 8-point list.
Okay.
Let's shoot through these 8 points.
Let's shit right through them.
All right.
All right, let's shit through number one. Okay, shady. Brand, how do you explain the fact that the low apogee turn Titan was at least 200,000 kilometers closer to the moon than indicating your plan? He goes, we were still within flight safety parameters, sir. That was not my question. Okay, we already went over that, but that was a moment of shadiness.
Yes, agreed.
Number two, Sito said that she didn't see the collision because she was flying on sensors alone, which makes no sense. Shady, that's shady point number two.
I mean, they have a window.
Yeah, right. They have a window, right. Yeah. So it's super shady. It's shady for a couple reasons. Number three, let's say Sito was flying on sensors. Then why didn't she remember the orientation of his ship before the collision? Yeah. As Brand pointed out, they're traveling 80,000 kph, after all, within 10 meters of each other.
Or just make some shit up.
Yeah, make some shit up.
Yeah.
But, you know, that whole part where it was like, Wes, you don't have to lie. You just don't have to. Like, come on. Everyone knows what a lie of omission was. And it wasn't even a good lie of omission because he was like, we weren't in the formation before the crash. He's like, technically, it's true. Yeah. It's like there's a Mitch Hedberg joke about that. Like, I used to do drugs. I still do what I used to do. Right. And it's like saying, like that's like saying, like, well, I went to sleep. That's like saying
it's a childish.
Yeah. It's like saying I went to sleep right before the maneuver. Yesterday I did. Actually, yesterday I went to sleep. I didn't lie. You know, it doesn't make any. It's like very.
It's the best example I could have thought of.
It's a good example.
Anyways.
All right, number four.
Number four. Nick Locarno said Josh was being less than awesome, and Nick let him fly anyway.
Yeah, it was, my note here has is Locarno throwing Josh under the space bus.
Space bus. Space bus.
Space bus!
Coast to coast. Number five is a follow-up, and he didn't report it to anyone.
Yeah.
He did not report it. He let him do it. Six, they asked Wes if they were in a diamond slot formation. I kind of already mentioned this. Before the collision, Wes says yes. He says 9 seconds after the Jaeger loop, they started getting fucked, but they have a satellite image of them 7 seconds after 7 seconds after the Jaeger loop, and they weren't in the diamond slot formation. Not only that, when they asked Wes if he had an explanation, Wes was like, no way. Yeah. You know, he's like,
well, he got caught at that point.
Yeah,
that was like classic. You're in court and somebody provides some evidence that you've just lied, and you're like,
evidence.
He later tried to rationalize his response to Picard by saying,
is this part of the same number?
Yeah.
Which number is this?
Six.
Six.
He later tried to rationalize his response to Picard by saying that he wasn't lying and that they were in a diamond slot formation before the crash. It's just that he didn't say how long it was before the collision that they left the formation. I mean, that's, like I said, that's not even a lie by omission. Technically it is, but it's so close to a lie that, like, I don't know.
Number seven.
Oh yeah, the example I gave in my what I wrote down is a drunk driver could say that they were sober before they drove, when in actuality they were sober earlier the week.
Yeah.
You know,
but I used to be sober.
Yeah, right. Anyway, number seven. Starboard. This is Geordi and Data. Starboard power flow was fluctuating, even though it was within limits. Mm-hmm. Fluidic pressure on landing struts were low. Who knows why? Coolant interlock was open right before going around Titan. Weird, but what the fuck? You usually only do that if you're performing a check on coolant levels, but he wasn't doing that. Also, you can only fill the primary coolant tanks in a maintenance bay. Mm-hmm. The only other reason you do that is if you were going to purge the plasma exhaust, but that's too dangerous. That shit would ignite. Oh man, that's... Sorry, it's just very obvious at this point. I'm reading what I'm saying.
Yes.
Wrote. I'm not even trying to hide it.
It hadn't even occurred to me that you would be trying to hide the fact that you were clearly reading.
I know it was obvious from the start.
It's a list.
No, I mean,
you read a list.
It just got so blatant, even for myself. So you're only going to do that if you're going to purge the plasma, but that's so dangerous, it would ignite. So why would you do that? And then Picard's like, oh man, that's what they wanted to do. It all makes sense. Good thing Picard knows all about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that whole situation, I love that whole explanation.
That's when he figured it out.
Yeah. And then at the end was like, not so much shady, but just sort of concludes.
This is number eight?
Number eight is the last one. This is sort of concludes that like, they're fucked up, is when Brand was basically said like,
it confirms? Is this a confirm or concludes?
This concludes the list. Number eight concludes the list. I'm about to say number eight.
Gotcha.
And number eight is not something shady they did. It's just kind of like confirms the shadiness.
Gotcha.
When Brand basically summed it all up by saying, I know you did it, but I can't prove it, you know? And so that's just kind of, it's at that point, everyone knows that like, shit is lame, man.
But because they have a... seemingly, at least the perception is that it's a well-functioning adjudication practice and philosophy, and she states it outright, which is, we know you did some shady shit, but we don't have any evidence of it. We don't actually know what the deal is, so you're going to get reprimanded. That's the deal.
And I quickly want to mention how, like, it's interesting how Locarno, the whole episode, comes off as this total dick, and, like, all throughout the episode, they're talking about, like, Boothby says... like, they worship Locarno. They treat him like a dad. They would follow him anywhere. So it makes it seem like Locarno is this really honorable, like, inspiring guy. But he doesn't come across that in this episode, save for, like, a couple times. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, at the end when he, like, after he figured out that it was bullshit, he was, like, he did take one for the team. He was telling the truth. But he was trying to manipulate Wesley. He was trying to guilt Wesley.
Absolutely.
And he was, by saying, like, well, I picked you for the team. And then he tried to, like, you know, appeal. He was appealing to his pride, and he was guilting him. He's like, I thought I could count on you. I guess I was wrong. But he did talk about, like, the whole episode, like, you know, how they had to, like, stick together, which is what he did in the end.
Everything's going to be all right.
But
as long as we stick together. We made a promise to each other right in the beginning.
Getting back
that
to...
that we'd stick together.
Hey, friends stick together. Yeah. If there's one thing decent folk do, it's stick together.
I hate it when the waffles stick together.
Sticking together is what good waffles do.
To get back to Grayson's question, the remaining question that we had not yet
Have we been working on this question the whole episode?
No. We deferred it to the end, which was about the ambiguous ending. And part of that ambiguous ending, I think, is Nick Locarno's conclusion, because it's not clear from the evidence provided whether he took the blame because he's a truly honorable person, or because that fit the personality he was and character he was trying to put across. Mm-hmm. And that it could be another manipulation, another calculation that, okay, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down in the way that makes me look fucking awesome.
Yeah, right.
And matches the image I've been trying to build for myself.
Because,
and then if we factor in the Lower Decks reappearance, that works. I think we can assume that that's what it was. It's not that he was truly honorable. He's not a terrible guy. He's not an evil guy.
But I mean,
but he's about himself.
But the fact that he wanted to do this maneuver for his own glory.
Exactly.
And that's why he pushed everybody into it. So that's a dick move.
Yeah, like, you know. It's an absolute dick move. So I fall on the side of, it's not that he was doing it for moral reasons. It was really, it was because it was the image he wanted to put across.
This was when he played to Wesley's pride. He goes, the first night I met you, I knew I wanted you on the squad. You more than any of the rest would understand what it means to be able to count on someone, because you've been out there putting yourself on the line. You know what you've got to be able to count on people on your team, because your life is in their hands and their lives are in yours. And he's just like, he's trying to be like, you know, I thought you knew how this went, yeah. You know, and then when he was trying to guilt him afterwards by saying, I got you on this team. I gave you a chance when there were upperclassmen waiting in line. Yeah. Like, so yeah, first he's like, I knew that you knew more than anybody.
No, you picked Wesley because he's fucking Wesley Crusher. Yeah, he's famous.
And then the second time he was just like, you know, well, I didn't have to pick you, you know.
It's like, yes, you did, because you wanted to buttress your own reputation by associating yourself with me, yeah. Wesley Crusher. All right, we've got to wrap things up. So final points.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how so quickly he changed up his tactics with Wesley. Yeah. First trying to manipulate. First trying to appeal to his pride. Second time trying to like guilt him by attacking him verbally, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
Fucked up. Pittosporum. Oh, Wesley's hand gestures when he was describing the Jaeger loop. I don't know why that looks so weird to me. He's choreographed.
And it was like back over his shoulders, like yeah. he was a steward on an airplane.
Right, he did. or like in a sixth grade play or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't think about that one. You mean flight attendant?
Yes.
Yes.
He used to be called the steward.
I know that.
Yeah.
All right. I liked Picard really reaming out. I know that Grayson said that the best part was like Albert.
Well, he didn't say it was the best part. He said it was the fulcrum of the story. Right. I agree. I think because that's part of the motivation Wesley has for doing the right thing.
And he mentioned it wasn't the speech at the end, but like,
it's a good speech.
I really like, I mean, and I know Grayson, I'm not saying Grayson says that the speech is not good. I'm saying that part is really great though, because I don't mean it because of what, he ripped into Wesley. That's not why I'm saying it. It was really well delivered, and it really puts across the idea that Picard is like truly and permanently disappointed mm-hmm. in Wesley yeah. in this way, which is like a ballsy move for a show to do, to like have a main character like this like fuck yeah. up that hard.
They started getting more ballsy.
Yeah.
Season 7, Journey's End, we get to see the follow-up of this situation with mm-hmm. Wesley when he finally gets to graduate from Starfleet
but
Academy.
I thought this was a fantastic episode. I mean, I've seen this episode before. When I watched it again, I was really sort of like immersed in it. It's an excellent episode.
It's a very good episode, tightly told story, great acting, introduced us to Robert Duncan McNeil. Of course, the old tale we've probably gotten wrong in the past too is that Tom Paris was going to be Nick Locarno, but there was some sort of rights issues they were worried about, whatever, where apparently when you look into it, that's misleading at best. That really, one of the problems they had was that they weren't sure the audience could ever redeem Nick Locarno. Mm. And that's why Tom Paris was a little bit more of a more charming rascal, whereas Nick Locarno is a little bit more manipulative.
It would have been better if that was Nick Locarno.
It would have been more interesting. But he would have been less charming and harder to redeem than Tom Paris, who committed a crime off screen that we don't know. And in the meantime, he's all charming and fun.
Yeah.
All right. So that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, we're going to talk about Deep Space Nine.
He did exactly what he said he would.
Equilibrium. It's a Dax-centric episode.
All right.
It's a fun one. We haven't done a lot of Dax-centric episodes.
I'm going to make this simple for you, Mr. Crusher.
Dax is awesome. So check out DS9's Equilibrium for our discussion next week. And in the meantime, if you want to find us on social media, at It's Got Star Trek, websites, itsgotstartrek.com. I mean, come on, this is all easy. You can figure this all out. Please, if you can, subscribe to us on YouTube. You don't have to listen to us there, but subscribe to us on YouTube. We're trying to build up our subscriber base there.
Calm down.
You can find us at It's Got Star Trek, as you can guess. Facebook, Blue Sky, Mastodon, all that stuff. Find us wherever you can. I complained about people using words in too close succession. I've used the word find too frequently.
I mean, you get a pass because it's conversational. It's harder to avoid when you're still talking on the fly.
We're pros. We're professionals.
You did what you had to do. You did what you thought was best.
That is fair. All right. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We certainly enjoyed talking about it.
We first time caller, first time listener. Last time listener, first time caller.
For Dan and Jesse, this has been Patrick. And that has been It's Got
Star Trek. Wait, this has been for Dan and Jesse, this has been Patrick? Is that what you said?
That's what I said, and it makes total sense.
No.
It's Got Star Trek says goodbye.
No. I want you all to know that leading this team has been the high point of my years at the Academy.
Mr. Locarno has been expelled. The booth bit.
Mm-hmm.
Jean-Luc Picard, class of 27.
I know that. What happened to your hair?